We're talking today with Casey Chumroff, who's with U.S. Wheat and based in South America at the offices in Santiago, Chile. You're with some folks from the nation of Chile here in the Southern Plains right now. Tell me a little bit about your background, a little bit about your involvement at U.S. Wheat.
Yes, I've been with U.S. Wheat almost 6 years now. I started in the Washington, D.C. office as the market analyst and moved to Santiago in September of 2015 as the marketing manager for South America. And I just have loved every single minute of it. It's a wonderful organization. We have great farmer support. The support from the commissions and the states is fabulous. And it's just a really, really great job.
So your responsibilities are across the entire continent.
Exactly. We cover 6 countries. Chile, of course, since we're based there. Peru, Ecuador, Bolivia, Brazil, and Colombia.
Let's talk a little bit about the group that you've got with you today.
So we have 4 millers with us who represent almost 65% of total imports into the country. We have the 2 largest individual mills, plus a buying group. They buy for 9 mills in the Central Valley. All of these buyers are from the Central Valley, which is where most of the wheat is imported into. And then we have the largest mill from that group of 9 here.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, the needs of, in this case, Chile. In other words, their wheat buying needs.
So they are an enormous bread consumer. They are the 3rd largest bread consumer per capita in the world. They're not a real populous country, about 17 million people, but they eat about 95 kilos per person. I don't know what that is in pounds right now, but it's an enormous amount. And so most of their wheat use, their flour use, is going to bread, but they do produce quite a bit of pasta. They have 1 big pasta producer. And the cookies and crackers is a growing segment for them.
Because of this, what sort of classes of wheat are they most interested in when they shop internationally?
Principally, they are a all-purpose bread, flour, wheat consumer. So that would be a hard red winter from the United States. But they also, of course, do blend. So they have bought hard red winter. In fact, from our region, they're the only country who has bought all 6 classes of U.S. wheat. They're very sophisticated, very mature market. And so they're very good at switching between classes, between origins, between ports, depending on what the market dictates.
I would think that they are very specific, as they can be very specific about what they want as far as protein and all the other attributes.
Absolutely. They really know how to write a contract. I would say that they are probably the most sophisticated buyers as a whole from anyone in our market.
Tell me about the trip thus far.
It's been wonderful. We arrived on Sunday, and the director of the Oklahoma Wheat Commission, Mike Schulte, picked us up, and we went right to work. We went and visited several. In the last 2 days, we visited several grain companies, from very small to very big, who are doing a lot of different things. And so it's been a really good opportunity for these guys to see how the wheat is purchased from the farmer, how it's moved onto a shuttle. We got to visit a shuttle loader in Medford, and they've been asking so many questions, and everyone has just been so, so welcoming and patient with all of our different questions.
So this type of a trade team experience, bringing folks from the individual nations to the United States, how important is that in your mind?
Very important. So important that we have 1 per year. We rotate it through the countries in our region. But I think that not only is it educating them on our system, it gives them confidence in our system. So they know that they can see how it's produced. They can have a little bit confidence in how it's grown. But then they also see all along the way how standardized it is. They have very, very high confidence in the FGIS grading system. And I think it also gives a little bit of extra sentimental value where they can connect to the farmer and to the industry and, you know, hopefully have just a good warm feeling when they're thinking about how to buy and maybe having that extra little incentive.
when it comes to their choices of wheat around the world, where else are they shopping?
Canada is our biggest competitor, even though you would think geographically it would be Argentina. The last 5 years, the U.S. has been the largest market share, but Canada is right there with us. And we can't really deny that Canada has a very good wheat. And so when the market and the prices cause them to go to Canada, that's how it is. But what we want to do is make sure that they are well-educated and very confident in U.S. wheat so that they know how to buy when the price is right, and they know how to use the wheat once it arrives.
For a wheat producer that's investing through the checkoff, various state checkoffs, including Oklahoma, what's the message? You know, you're working for them. What do they need to know about this whole system of working in the countries with these buyers?
Well, number one, I think, is the expertise and the know-how of the people overseas. In U.S. Wheat Associates, I think we have 85 people, more or less, around the world. And I think at least half of them have been with U.S. Wheat for 30 years. And my boss in South America, Alvaro de la Fuente, has been in the region for 37 years. Wow. He knows these guys. He has been to some of their kids' weddings. He knows their businesses like the back of his hand. And when they have a problem, when they get a cargo that doesn't meet their expectations, their first call is U.S. Wheat. And I think that says a lot about U.S. Wheat as an organization, and it's that way around the world. And so the fact that the customers have so much confidence in us, I think that that really means that we are making a difference.
When it comes to South America, your territory, what are the biggest challenges? What are you paying the most attention to day in and day out?
Yeah, I think the fact that the customers have had a good experience with Canada, we have to make sure that we're meeting that same bar. And we hear a lot about consistency and uniformity. And so, you know, one of the advantages of the U.S. wheat production is that we have a enormous geographical production area. So if there is a problem with the production in one area, then luckily we have good wheat coming out of another area. Sure. But that also means that it's very mixed. And so the cargo that arrives overseas isn't necessarily from one state or definitely not from one farm. And so the kernels are different sizes. It's been mixed so to meet the specifications. So maybe there's a 10.5 protein and an 11.7 protein in order to meet the specification. And sometimes that can be a real challenge. And so that's something that, you know, we like to stress, and we've seen some businesses here that are maybe changing the way that they're buying from the farmer in order to really focus on the end quality. Mm-hmm. And the customers that are here were very encouraged by that and would like to see that become more of a widespread practice.
The end quality, that's very important, isn't it?
End quality is everything, because, you know, protein is a really easy way to segregate wheat, but that doesn't necessarily dictate how or predict how it's going to perform in the mill or in the bakery. And at the end of the day, that's who's using this wheat. And if it's not performing for the customers of our customers, they're going to be discouraged to buy from us.